Good morning. It's again good to be here this morning. As Tom led the song, I believe, during the offering, he paid a debt that I couldn't pay. I was thinking, you know, we could probably just take that this morning and realize that Christ paid a debt for us that we couldn't pay and offer that to each one of us and go home. And then he led the song here, Marvelous Grace. Fit right in with that. And sometimes I think when we preach, we always come back to the same thing. God's love. That's the heart of the gospel. God's love. So I don't apologize for that. It's something we want to come back to all the time. It's His great love for us. So great that He invited us to spend eternity with Him. And to me, that's a beautiful thought. I get chills when I think about that, about God's love. This morning, I've titled my message, Mercy for Today, and this hinges on the message I had, I believe, 4 weeks ago. I believe I had titled my message then, Our Father's Heart of Mercy, or something close to that. And there were some comments made, and I had also stated something in my message last time that I'd like to share a message about mercy. How do we live out mercy today? So this message hinges on to that message. Hopefully we can catch a little bit of more of a glimpse this morning. God showed us mercy, which we saw last time. He continues to show us mercy. But now we take that mercy and we live it out today. So hopefully you can catch that this morning. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. We're going to be in verse 27. And some of the scriptures that I'm using this morning, I used the last time I shared. So we're not going to be repeating things here, but there are some of the same scriptures here. Excuse me, Luke 6, verse 27. And I'd like for you to stand this morning. I'm going to read through from verse 27 through verse 36. And this is not really my text this morning. My text is Matthew 5, 7, as we have up here. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. But I'd like for us to think about mercy again as we read through Luke 6, 27 to 36. Mercy, playing out mercy in our walk today. And think about these verses as we read. What part of this am I sensing in my life? Don't look at the others around you. Think about your own life. What part of mercy that he's talking about here can I sense in my life? Luke 6, verse 27 says, But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and to him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners also do the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Thank you. You may be seated. Mercy. I'd like for us this morning to look at four different areas of mercy, ways that we can show mercy. And there's so many different areas that we could have gone to this morning. But I thought I'm going to pick four areas that fit into our lives today. The interesting thing about mercy is those that I'm with all the time maybe experience less mercy than those that I meet throughout the week. Picture for a minute you get a phone call. Before the phone rings, you're talking to one of your children. And there's an issue in the home, and all of a sudden, the sound level starts rising. You're talking to your child and you're raising your voice, which is not a good thing, but that starts happening. You're raising your voice and all of a sudden the phone rings and you pick up and you answer so sweetly. Who received the mercy in that picture? Who received the kindness? The one that called. Your child is the one that's probably going to pay for that because of the pain and the hurt. The first area that we like to look at is mercy in child training. I like to encourage you parents this morning. In our today's world, when we think about children, they're not so much a blessing, but they're a curse. Abortion is rampant. We don't want children. But Psalm 127, 3, 4, and 5 says this. It says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Parents, you have a huge responsibility this morning. Talking to parents that are still raising their children. Maybe grandparents that are helping raise grandkids. You have a huge responsibility this morning to teach and to train your children. But how, children, listen up to this. Probably every child in here this morning gets spankings from time to time. I could ask you to raise your hand this morning if you had a spanking this week, but I'm not going to. Did you know when your mom and dad spank you that they're showing mercy to you? Doesn't always feel like it, does it? When mom and dad spank you, they're showing you mercy. We'll look at that in a second here. When I was in first grade, I wasn't a bad kid in first grade. I think I behaved pretty good. But when I was in first grade, we had this paper. The teacher had this paper up by her desk, and there were spots for 5 check marks on this paper. If you got 5 check marks, you got a spanking. Somehow along the way, I got 5 check marks. And I think it was probably more from not doing something right, not really disobedience, but maybe not doing something right. I got 5 check marks. My teacher showed mercy to me by giving me a spanking. And when I talk about mercy, it didn't hurt. This one here was a light spanking. I'd love to have that kind of spankings through my whole life. But she did show mercy to me because she honored what she had, the rule that she had. That taught me that the teacher is not going to bend according to who it is or why they got that mark. If you got that mark, you're going to get a spanking. And she had to stick with it. She was very merciful in the spanking, but she was merciful in the fact that she taught me that she's not going to favor somebody else. How can we show mercy to our children when we have to correct bad behavior? The picture we have today of people spanking is more of a beating, more of a hitting. Now we want to get a clear picture of that this morning. That's not what he's talking about. We're going to read a verse here. Let me just read it right now if I can find it here. Proverbs 23:13 says, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." Let's understand that word beatest here. If we think about beating a child today, we think about the person that abuses a child. That's not what he's talking about here. There's something, parents, we need to pick up really quick here. As we discipline our child, as we spank our child, we do that out of love. We do that out of mercy for the child. Joshua, when your mom and dad spank you, I've got a feeling they didn't do it out of anger. Here's Joshua, look what he did. I'm going to do it again. I'm going to give him a whooping. But I've got a feeling they did it out of love. That's mercy. Because they didn't want you to grow up to be a young man who walks away from the Lord. For each one of us here this morning, that's how our parents, that's how they want to discipline. That's what I want us to pick up this morning, parents. Discipline your children with the idea of mercy in mind, not anger. But discipline your children out of love, out of mercy. Let's look at some scriptures here. Proverbs 13:24. says, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 19 verse 18 says, chasten thy son while there is hope, and let not thy soul spare for his crying. By the way, I've heard of moms and dads who have spanked their children, and as they spanked, they cried, and it was an angry cry. Did they stop? No. Mercy says, keep right on going until that will is broken. So the child learns to love and to honor discipline. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. And a couple of verses I'd like to read out of Proverbs 29. I have those on the bottom of the board up here. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, and he shall give delight unto thy soul. To correct your child is to show him a better way, to keep him from going the way of a fool. This is the way we can play out mercy, parents. By correcting our child because we love them. Because we want them directed as those arrows that are shot. We want them directed to hit the mark. We don't spank our children out of anger or out of frustration, but we correct them with love. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child, or that is to direct a child, in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train is something. When I train a dog, I do it over and over and over so he goes the right path. I don't do it in anger that the dog fears me. I'm not comparing children to dogs this morning. Please understand me. But we train. We keep working for the same thing over and over, and we direct that life. So when that arrow is shot, it goes and it hits the mark. The second one we'd like to look at this morning is mercy in marriage. And this one gets to be a little bit of a difficult one. Mercy in marriage. How can I show mercy to my spouse? If we're going to admit it, we can all say this morning that there's times where our marriages go through a dry spell. We come to a place where it just seems that connection isn't as good as it should be. How do I show mercy when that happens? We're going to begin first of all with the husband. Husband to his wife. How can you show mercy to your wife when what you had to say to your wife comes back negative? You make a comment and you get a negative feedback from your wife, and it just doesn't sit well. Ephesians 5:25-28. Husbands, love your wives. We're going to stop right there for a second. I remember when I was single, I would think about, why is that verse in Scripture? Husbands, love your wives. If I ever get married, I'm going to love my wife. Why is that Scripture in there? But as I was married, time started moving on. There were differences that Vond and I had. I had to learn to love my wife. I love her dearly. Those differences that we had that we worked through made me love her more, because I was willing to work through those. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Really? I have to love my wife that way? That I have to lay down my life for hers? That becomes something I look forward to, because I love my wife. I want to have mercy on my wife. Challenges, men. Love your wives as Christ loved the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. How can I be bitter against my wife? One of the ways that I become bitter against my wife is when something happens in our marriage and all of a sudden I have something inside her that starts turning. And after a while, as I think about this whole thing, Satan continues to put a little bit more fuel on the fire. And there's more happening in my life to where I become bitter against my wife. And our relationship falls apart. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Let's go to the wives. You thought you were going to get away from this, weren't you? Actually, before we go there, I got something else I'd like to share here about the husbands. Picture Christ when He left the beauty of heaven and He came down to draw you to Himself. He wanted you with Him in glory. Okay? Let's picture that. We have that sense there that there's a love that we can't even attain to. A love that He's showing us that we are to show to our wives as best we know how. Now let's imagine the Father sent the Son and He said, I want you to go down and give kind of what you got left over. Don't give everything that you have. Hold a little back. Just give Him a little, give a little bit. Isn't that somehow sometimes how we would, sometimes I repeat it myself, but isn't that sometimes how we want to do with our wives? We want to give them not the first, but the leftovers. Do you think your wife is going to be satisfied with the leftovers? She shouldn't be. She probably is, if she loves you. But men, we should never be satisfied with giving our wife the leftovers. Never. Give her the first. Be very merciful to her. Even though things might not be going well, love your wife. Be merciful to her. Wives, Ephesians 5, 23 to 24. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. The last time I had this, I shared this verse, I talked about the word submit for a little bit. What we consider to be a dirty word is not a dirty word. Men, find your place in the headship of Christ. When you find your place in the headship of Christ, and you are under where you're supposed to be, and you're walking in communion with the Father, what happens to the wife? She wants to find her place also. She finds security in that a man that knows where he's at with the Lord, he's walking with the Father because he's found his place of connection, will bring security into his marriage to the where the wife will also come and find her place in submission, and she does it joyfully. It is not burdensome for her. Men, we play a huge role in this. For your wife to be submissive to you can often be a reflection of the man. Not always, but it can often be a reflection of the man. Our relationship with the Father. Wives, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Wives, you can show mercy to your husband by submitting to him. Even when your husband asks something of you that you don't understand, it doesn't make sense to you. Submit to your husband. Yes, you can give godly counsel. My wife has given me so much godly counsel. I have shared with her one of the things I do a whole lot of. We sit in our recliners there side by side, and I start talking to her about the message that I'm preparing. And I start throwing things to her, and all of a sudden, I can sense that there's something she doesn't see through. She has given me so much godly advice already. But yet she's submissive. She doesn't sit there and drive the point. She gives it to me and she allows me to make a decision to think about that. Wives, submit to your husbands. This is a way to show mercy to your husbands. Submitting is not a bad word. Husbands and wives together. Show mercy by putting the other one first. Show mercy by putting the other one first. This is a way that we can walk out mercy. There's another part that goes with marriage and goes with a lot of life. Showing mercy by forgiving. There's many times I've had to ask my wife for forgiveness, and she sought forgiveness from me. We can be merciful by forgiving and loving and letting it in the past. And walking forward in our marriage. Husbands, I hope your hearts are so tender that when you go somewhere you shouldn't go, when you meet your wife, that bothers you so much that you get down on your knees in front of her and you ask her for forgiveness. None of us men are too good to seek forgiveness. Let's set the example. When we choose to forgive, we show mercy. Peter asked Jesus, he said, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? Jesus said, no, 70 times 7. I think more than counting the numbers, I think Jesus was saying, never stop forgiving. Always forgive. Never get to the place where you say, I've forgiven enough. That's it. Continue to forgive. Third one we want to look at is mercy to the unsaved. How can we show mercy to the one who has not yet heeded the call of God? Tom talked a little bit this morning about going out, about sharing the gospel. Matthew 10 verse 1 says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. After he gave the disciples power, he said, now I want you to go. I want you to go and I want you to share the good news. And this is what he said in Matthew 10 verse 8. He said, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. When I look at this, what he told them to do, I look at life. I look at life. He said, heal, cleanse, raise, cast out. Why? Because that's what's happened to you. Let me ask you this morning, has that happened in your life? Has he come in and has he healed you? Has he brought you new life? If he has, well, guess what? Freely ye have received, freely give. Freely ye have received, freely give. Raise your right hand and clench your fist. It's okay, you can do that here this morning. Now I imagine that you've got mercy here. You want to give it to your neighbor. Is it going to happen? With that fist clenched tight? Open your fist. Freely you have received. Freely give. Thank you. Freely you have received. Freely give. I couldn't get over that phrase this morning as I was studying. So much that I have received from my Father, and I want to just hang on to it. No, he says, freely you have received, freely give. Husbands, bless your wives. We've gone through that, but freely you've received, freely give to your wives. Freely give to those who do not yet know salvation. You have received salvation. Give salvation. Or show them the way, rather, to salvation. Most of us this morning understand scriptural teaching. Not all of us. But most of us do. Let's get a little bit more realistic here. What about the person that comes into our midst? Or maybe somebody we meet on the streets that has a perverted view of sexuality. Let's just make it a little bit clearer yet. What about the homosexual? Let's be very honest this morning. We do well until we come to a place that gets just a bit uncomfortable and we're willing to turn our back and walk away. Let me give you a story this morning. I haven't heard this story. It's been a long time. So hopefully I'll share it correctly. And I can't recall anymore. Was this a Bible school? What this was? But there was a young man at this gathering, wherever it was. And the leaders in this organization found out that he was gay. He was homosexual. The easy thing for those leaders to do would have been say, I want you to go home. You do not belong. But let me tell you what these leaders did. They met with the young man, and he admitted where he was at. Actually, I think he's the one that came to them. And instead of turning their back on him, they showed him mercy. They connected him with some men at home in his church. And said, we're sending a young man home. Would you take him under your wings and work with him? We said, yes, we would. The young man went home. And these, I think it was two or three men, met with him. They spent a lot of time with him, showing him mercy, leading him to the Father. It was a year or two later, one of these leaders that was at this Bible school or whatever it was at some meetings where there were a lot of people. A young man comes up to him with a big smile on his face. And here's the young boy that they send home. He said, would you come with me? I want to show you my fiance. God healed him. God cleansed him. Why? Because somebody was merciful. Would they have turned their back on this young man? They would have pushed him out. Somebody was merciful because the Father was merciful to them. They showed mercy. What about the Muslim? We're very cautious about the Muslim, aren't we? I'm sorry. I'm naming some things here this morning. I guess I'm not sorry. What about our neighbor that's just not like me? Can I show them mercy? Friends, we need to picture the heart of God as looking down on us and He sees humankind, and every single one of us has that soul within us. No, it's not just us sitting here this morning. Everyone on this earth has a soul, and the Father delights in His children. He wants all of them to be His children. He's not happy that any should perish. What am I doing about it? I'm not pointing at you. I'm talking about what am I doing about that this morning? Is my heart full of mercy for the unsaved? Levi was a tax collector. He invited Jesus into his house. Mark 2 verse 15 says, and it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. On the outside were the scribes and the Pharisees. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, how is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a doctor, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And if you look at the word righteous there, he's talking about those that are self-righteous. Oh, they needed a doctor. They definitely did. But they weren't ready for him because they were so full of themselves, self-righteousness, that they were not at this point ready for a doctor yet. But Jesus said, I came for the sick. Can we look at the unsaved as somebody that has a need? And we have the answer through Jesus Christ. What a challenge. What a challenge. The fourth one I like to look at in our last point here is mercy to the needy. And I understand this one here can be controversial. So this morning, be merciful with me. I'm going to share a few scriptures with you. And if you see it different than I do, God bless you. If you see it like I do, doesn't mean that I'm always right. But take the scriptures this morning, allow them to speak to you. How about those that are needy? How can I show mercy to those in need? There's a verse in Proverbs 19. We have it up here on the board. This is the NLT. It says, if you help the poor, you are lending to the Lord and He will repay you. Can I make a comment about that this morning, about my bank account? When I take money out of my bank account and I give to the poor, I'm pretty careful. What does this verse say here that happens? We lend to the Lord. Does He give it back to us in money all the time? No. But we're building for the kingdom. We're planning ahead. It's good to use discernment. Please don't misunderstand me. Let's imagine for a minute we have a man that comes to you and he's continually asking about every 5-6 weeks for a little bit of money. And it's okay. You can give. You find out that there are legitimate reasons, some of them. Not all of them. But some of them are legitimate reasons. But then as you go on in time, all of a sudden you realize something's not quite right here. So you do some research. We have the internet today. You do some research and you find out he's an excellent con artist. Is there a place to stop giving? Yes, I believe there is. But Harold told me something here one time. He said, I would a whole lot rather be guilty of giving too much than not enough. Friends, we have so much today. We have so much. When we have opportunity to help a needy, let's help them. But let's be careful. I realize there's a caution here. 1 John 3:17 says, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in that person? If we have amongst us brothers and sisters that have needs, let's bless them. Let's bless them. Let's have mercy on them. I'd like to go to Deuteronomy. I'd like for you to turn to this. Deuteronomy 15 verse 7. We're going to look at the old law for just a bit here and see what happened, what their requirements were in the old law. Deuteronomy 15 verse 7. This had to do with lending. It had to do with helping somebody who had a need. And this is what it says. It says, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine hand from thy brother, thy poor brother. But thou shalt open thine hand. That's what I was talking about. Opening your hand. Thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanteth. Now listen to the next couple of verses. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, the seventh year, if you would give somebody a loan and it wasn't quite paid for, the seventh year, that was erased. It was forgiven. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand. And thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him naught. Because the seventh year is almost here, I'm not going to give him what he needs because it's going to be erased, and I won't receive anything back. You don't give him anything. And he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thine hand unto. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor, and to thy needy in the land. When Jesus sent out his disciples, back to Mark 10, where we were talking about, when he sent out his disciples, he said, I want you to go, I want you to heal. Then he also said, when you go into their towns, he said, I want you to test them. You find somebody that you can check out. If they have an open heart to receive what you have, stay and bless them. Be merciful to them. Give. But he also said, if you go and you sense that they're against you, don't waste your time. Move on. Shake the dust off of your feet as you leave. And I believe we can use that this morning. Never do I want to be guilty of shutting my heart to somebody. Whether it's lending, whether it's showing mercy. But there's also a place, I believe, where we want to be cautious and not throw everything to the wind. I challenge you to talk to me afterwards if you disagree with that, because I may have this wrong. But I do believe there's never a place. I'm speaking against what I just said. I said that wrong. Never stop loving. Never stop showing mercy. Let's make that clear. The financial end of it, there may be a place to stop. But when it comes to mercy, we never stop showing mercy. So how am I doing this morning? Am I showing mercy? Think about your life this past week. I think sometimes it's easy for us to look way back and we're not sure exactly where we're at. But if we look at the week that we just came through, is there a place this week that I had opportunity to show mercy? Whether it's in my home, whether it's outside my home, whether it's to the unbeliever. Is there a place that I had opportunity to show mercy and I turned my back on them? God forbid. Let's love those around us. Be kind to other people. This actually blesses you and it makes your life happier. And mercy certainly produces greater joy in those to whom you've shown it. Let's be known for being a people of mercy. When we hear people talking about Calvary Chapel, I hope it's about mercy. I hope it's because they've seen mercy. God bless you this morning. Let's stand for closing prayer. Again, Lord, we thank you this morning for, yes, your great mercy to us. Father, you didn't leave us here in our sinful state. You send your Son to show mercy. And we just want to bless you again this morning for that. And Father, I pray that as we leave here this morning, whether it's in our homes, Lord, whether it's out there away from our homes, at work, in town, wherever we're at, Father, may we be known for being a people of mercy. May it shine through our lives. Give us much wisdom. Give us much direction. We need you so much. On our own, Lord, we really do mess up. But thank you so much for your mercy. We just bless you. We love you. And our desire, Lord, is to make your name great this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.